Ethics should precede economics. We know this because we've seen the results of capitalism without conscience. The pollution of the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we eat. The endangerment of workers, and the sale of dangerous products, from cars to toys to drugs. All in a pursuit of greater and greater profits. And that quote comes from Adriana Huffington. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Ethics seems to be something that is very much missing in the world of 2011. And this has certainly been demonstrated via some of the actions that we've been witness to lately. Actions that we've seen by our governments and by our police forces. Recently I saw a very disturbing video of a group of police officers who had arrested some Occupy protesters and had them lying on the ground handcuffed, and then they proceeded to erect a tent over them so that they could gas them from the confines of the tent. The passage through the Senate of the Defence Authorization Act by the Obama regime a couple of weeks ago. The police presence that I've seen here in Byron Bay over the Christmas period. The actions of local governments, the actions of councils, the actions of the Western Australian government seeking to overturn the judgment that was made against them against compulsory land acquisition in James Price Point. The crackdowns that have been happening against organic farmers and organic growers, the introduction of food bills around the planet. I mean, it just goes on and on, folks. And all of these types of actions, and basically the whole structure of our society, it's just been created to put ethics at the absolute bottom of the pile. And it doesn't matter what is ethical anymore. It doesn't matter what is right or what is good or what is proper anymore. It only matters what is profitable. It only matters what is legal and what loopholes can be created within the legislative system to allow corporate corruption to continue. And that's basically the basis of our entire corporate and legal system. And it's also a system that removes from the people any real ability to be able to deal with the system or stand up against the system by working within legal parameters. Because the legal parameters are designed to support the system and not the people. And again, we come back to the difference between what is legal and what is lawful. But this is the type of society that we have, and as I said, the society is in itself anything but ethical. It's all been constructed to simply follow certain parameters, and it's all been created this way by design. Even with the carbon tax that's being implemented here and the steps that are apparently being taken to save us from climate change, I mean, it seems to be pretty damn obvious that this situation has been constructed purely by design, because the goal of carbon tax is to have a carbon dioxide concentration reduced to 200 parts per million. And that is also very concerning, if indeed that is the goal, because, as I've said before, folks, carbon is one of the building blocks of life, and you need to have more than 200 parts per million in the atmosphere in order for life to continue, and most especially plant life, because 200 parts per million is actually the minimum they can have. I think it's about then they start to show signs of serious deterioration, and at around 150 parts per million, most of the plants on the planet will simply die. Plant life depends on carbon dioxide. That's its air. That's what it breathes. As we learnt in school, trees absorb carbon dioxide and they produce oxygen in its place, much as we inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide in its place. So we feed the trees and the trees feed us. And this is a relationship that plant and animal life have had going on for millions of years, folks. And the only thing that really gets in the way of this perfectly balanced relationship is, of course, government. It's just amazing how they manage to do this, folks. But that is the nature of government. Governments have this incredible, this almost magical ability to turn anything they touch into this huge festering mound of self-destructing garbage. And they obviously must get a lot of practice at it first, because they are able to do this with an absolutely extraordinary degree of precision. And I might add, they are also able to do so very rapidly. And it doesn't really matter what it is, folks. If you really want to destroy a project that you're working on, if you really want to ensure that the people who constructed the project will in no way benefit from its completion, then all you really have to do is to get the government involved, and they're sure to mess the entire thing up for you to a degree of perfection that you could never have thought possible. And the really scary part about it is they've managed to extrapolate this perfection out to encompass the entire globe, so that now we see the situation that we are currently facing. And we're facing it from all angles, folks. The militarization of the police has been a nice touch, I must say. People were wondering how the Obama regime was going to get around posse comitatus, which is the law which prevents the US military from ever being deployed upon the streets of the United States. And although this bill has been virtually thrown by the wayside with the Patriot Act, word coming in from the soldiers was, were they to be deployed on the streets, then they would be defending the people and defending the Constitution, and not simply carrying out whichever orders were handed to them by the government. And so that was a little bit of a worry for the United States administration. And so what they've done to get around this is, rather than deploying the military on the streets, they've simply militarized the police force. The Obama administration has actually just recently spent a little over $500 million on military-grade equipment for the police. And that's $500 million, folks, they've spent on this. And so that's how they've got around the fact that the military simply weren't going to follow their orders. So we now see the United States police equipped with sound cannons and all of the lovely things that the military use in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And all the while, as this has been occurring, we've seen the police force themselves get more and more brutal, and many of these people very much seem to relish in the brutality that they dish out against the people, obviously displaying an utter disregard for the spirit of America and the Constitution that makes their country what it is. As I've often said, folks, one of the biggest problems that we actually face in our society in modern times is the police force, and most especially the attitude of the officers employed within the police force. And this isn't just in America either, folks. This is happening all around the globe. This is certainly the way it is here in Australia, where our modern police seem to have a brutal disregard for the safety of the people. And the only real way we're ever going to combat this, folks, is if the people unite together and start supporting each other rather than supporting their governments and supporting the system. I keep coming back to this because it truly is the only option that we have. There's no way to stand up against the encroaching police state and win. The only way to create a viable future is to disconnect from the system. The only way you're going to do that is if you break down the barriers between yourself and your neighbours, and the only way you're going to do that is if you break down the fear that exists within yourself that keeps you divided from your neighbours and prevents you from ever realising your own potential. Human beings truly are wonderful and remarkable creatures, and we all have an inherent value that cannot be taken from us. But it only works if we recognize that value within ourselves and we choose to stand in that value. We choose to stand in who and what we are. It's just that the system, the education system, the social systems, and the whole structure of our society is cleverly designed in order to prevent us from ever discovering the truth about ourselves. And it's only through discovering that truth that remedy can be found, folks. That's why I keep coming back to this so much. I've talked about this for 3 years almost incessantly on these shows, because it is the true inherent value of mankind that has been missing from the equation all along. And it's only when we realize this truth about ourselves that we will be in a position to simply disconnect from the fictional system that we allow to enslave us. Because it's just fiction, folks. It's just an idea. And it doesn't matter what types of legislation are implemented or introduced anywhere around the globe. It certainly doesn't matter about the legislation that's been introduced by the US government, because it doesn't really apply to anybody, because it's just fiction. That's the thing about US government, folks. They seem to believe that the only opinion that is valid in the world is the opinion of the US government. That's why they enact laws such as the Defense Authorization Act, which they believe gives them the right to march into any country they like and arrest people without charge, because they only view the opinion of the US government as being valid. But it's not true. The opinion of all people is valid, and the least valid opinion of all is the opinion of governments, because these people are simply public servants. It's just that through a method of constant intimidation, they have tricked the population into believing that they are actually our rulers, when they are in fact anything but. All they actually are is a group of public servants, a group of public trustees who are very much acting in breach of the trust which has been granted to them by their employers, the people of our respective nations. I don't know, folks, we've just got to stop allowing ourselves to be controlled by other people. We've got to start governing ourselves. We've got to start showing a little bit of self-responsibility, because that's all that's really missing. It's our lack of self-responsibility which creates the need for us to be governed by other people, and very often the willingness of the people to be governed by others. See, that's the thing. Most people actually embrace the idea of being controlled by somebody else because they are too much in fear of ever taking responsibility for themselves and taking control of their own lives. They find it much easier for someone else to do it. That way they have someone else to blame. When things aren't going well in their lives, they can point the finger at government and say, oh, it's his fault, it's their fault. And they can have a bit of a screaming match, but they'll never actually stand up and do anything about it. They're quite happy to just simply voice their opinion as loud as they can and then feel that they've actually done something because they've screamed at somebody, when really they haven't actually done anything at all, other than simply give their power away and create a little bit of temporary ego-driven satisfaction for themselves by feeling that they have the right to scream at somebody else for making their lives a mess, when they are the ones who have relinquished control of their own lives to someone else. And more often than not, they have done so quite willingly, whether they choose to face that fact or not. Because ultimately, it's all about freedom of choice, my friends. It's always been about freedom of choice. It's just that most people have been trained not to ever perceive that such choices exist. But they do. It's simply the conscious choice between love and fear. And it's always there, and you can always choose to make a different choice at any moment of any day. And that's all it will take. Simply change your perspective and choose the more empowering of the two extremes of emotion. And if you do this, what you will find is that you can change your life very rapidly. I've actually received a lot of email from listeners lately asking how they can help and how they can change things within their own community. And folks, this is how you do it. You've got to change your perspective of reality. You've got to break down the fear that exists within yourself and lead by example within your own community. You see, you've got to have this type of camaraderie on the ground within your own neighborhood, because when you have this, you are able to stand up against the system by simply disconnecting from it, by connecting with your neighbors, by connecting with the people around you. That's what disconnects you from the system. Because then you have the weight of numbers behind you when you choose to not comply with the system. I mean, recently we've seen people being charged with an offence because they've got a garden in their front yard, for God's sake, because the local councils don't believe that it's proper to have a garden in your front yard. And honestly, folks, these sorts of regulations put in place by councils is just simply a way of sociopaths enacting their repressed biological urges upon the rest of the population and controlling the lives of other people because they believe they have a right to do so because they wrote some words on a piece of paper. It's this whole paper-based society, this whole paper-based understanding of the world that we seem to have. And of course, if the individual decides to stand up against this, then they get reprimanded and they get made an example of by their local council. So this is why you need to have the support of your local community. And you get this support by simply leading by example, by helping people around you. Now, if you help all your neighbours, when they see you in a time of difficulty, of course they're going to help you because you've created that type of a culture. You've created that type of a mentality with people that they want to help. They realize the pleasure that can be obtained through helping others, and they realize the value that it can add to their own lives by simply giving to people around them. Giving is an incredibly empowering thing to do, folks, and it can change your perspective on life, and it can change the perspective of those that you give to. And if you do this, what you find is that the people around you become giving people as well. Often because they can see the value that it has added to your life and they wish to obtain some of that value for their own lives. And this is what I mean by leading by example. And it's not hard to do, folks. You've simply got to do it. And you can't wait for other people to start and say, oh, well, I'll start giving when other people start giving around me because that way nobody ever does it because everyone's always waiting for someone else to start the process. So why don't you start it? Why don't you lead by example and be the change that you want to see in the world? It's really not difficult to do, and I'm living proof that it actually works. I mean, frankly, I'm just amazed at how much people are prepared to take before they stand up. I mean, the level of denial we see in the modern world, it makes Germany of 1939 pale into insignificance. I mean, I don't know how much it will take before people see it, but the continual removal of rights. I mean, I thought the Patriot Act and the implementation of Homeland Security would make a difference, but it just doesn't seem to worry people. And then you have the TSA searching and groping people at airports and bus stops, and now we see the introduction of the Defence Authorization Act, which is basically a declaration of a police state within the boundaries of the United States that also has a global reach. And to go along with that, you see the militarization of the police. I mean, what more do people want? How much is it going to take before people see it? And the fact that people aren't doing anything about it absolutely defies analysis. And the fact that the police are willing to go along with this, it just never ceases to blow my mind. I mean, this is why I mention these people so much. I cannot believe the mentality of these people. I mean, they must have double-digit IQs and complete and utter contempt for their nation in order to even follow such legislation. It's literally mind-boggling. And all being done in the name of keeping people safe from terrorism. That's the funny part about it, folks, is that they are introducing what is essentially a terrorist police state within the US borders in order to protect the people from terrorism. It's absolutely absurd. And at the same time, they are introducing laws that can effectively incarcerate any person who decides that they should be speaking out against the actions of the criminal cabal that has usurped the American government. Anybody can be a terrorist under this new legislation, folks. All the people at the Occupy movements can all be categorized as terrorists simply because they are harboring dissent for their government. Simply because they're attempting to hold their government accountable for its actions. Because according to this new legislation, this can now be classed as terrorism. And then these psychopaths actually think that it's okay for them to come and arrest you without charge and hold you indefinitely and torture you to find out exactly what you were thinking. It's all legal under US legislation, folks. And they believe that they can use this legislation to pick up anybody on Earth. Anybody on the globe that speaks out against the government can now be classed as a terrorist, arrested without charge, and tortured indefinitely, just to keep the people safe. And the most amazing part about it is that the people are simply allowing this type of legislation to be enacted. And it's being enacted by their employees, by a group of public servants, a group of public trustees who are entrusted with the freedom of the nation and the freedom of the people and are granted the power to protect the people. And it all happens, as I said, because the people with the real power, which is actually the people who employ the government, choose to do nothing about it. Absolutely amazing. And yet these same people have the audacity to scream abuse when this government abuses them. When the only reason the government abuses them is because they've granted them the power to do so. So we have to change our mindset, folks. We have to change our perspective of what's actually going on here. We have to realize who the real power in all of our countries is, because the real power lies with the people. The government of all of our countries, these are governments elected by the people, of the people, and for the people. Well, that's what we're told they are anyway, but in reality, when you look at it, what you find is that the government consists of members of a private club. It's all the people who went to the same high schools, all the people who hang out at the Bohemian Grove, and all the people who go to the Bilderberg meetings. That's who is invariably in positions of power in all of our countries. They tell you that anyone can get to be president of any of these countries, but it's simply not the truth, folks. That's why elections are such theatre, because we may perceive that we're voting for people, but in reality, we're only voting for the people that are selected for us to vote for. I personally think that all politics is a complete joke, but I'd say the last hope America has is to vote for someone like Ron Paul in the next election. Because even though Mr. Paul will be limited by the scope of what he can achieve, because he will consider himself to be forced to work within the parameters of an inherently corrupt system, he still offers the only real hope for any type of change, no matter how gradual it may be, that America has seen for a very long time. But of course, a difficult thing any such person will face if they do achieve the office of presidency exists in the form of the corporation that actually controls the US government, the banking cartels and all of this sort of stuff. And even in addressing the United States Federal Reserve System, which is something that Ron Paul may well do, all such a move would really succeed in doing is completely destroying the US dollar and paving the way for the introduction of something such as the Amero. Because it isn't the US Federal Reserve System that is the actual problem here. It's the banking cartels and the whole central banking mentality that has taken over the world. And this is run by the same European families that control the US government. And unfortunately, that is one of the biggest problems that faces the American people when they look at this type of situation, because they tend to only view it from an American perspective. I mean, certainly America is a very, very important player on the global stage. But when you look at the money system is something different. And a lot of Americans have been taught to associate the American money system with the American Federal Reserve Bank and see it as something unique to that country. But it's not. It's a global system. The whole central banking system that has been put in place globally. That's just been put in place in Libya, and that's been put in place throughout Europe, that's in place in Australia here. It's this money system, the central banking money system, which is controlled by the European cartels, that is the problem. And bringing down the US Federal Reserve will not address this problem in any way, shape, or form. All it will do will be crash the US dollar and pave the way for the introduction of a new currency in the United States and a demotion of the United States' role on the global stage. And from that point on, it will simply become the muscle of the UN. Because from a global perspective, bringing down the US Federal Reserve, as I said, will achieve nothing. What needs to be looked at is the entire global reserve banking system. It is not unique to the United States, and that's something that people need to embed clearly in their minds. So yes, Ron Paul may be the best hope America has seen for a while, but he may also be used to bring down the entire US economy simply because of this tunnel vision that most of America seem to have when they look at the Reserve Bank system. When, as I said, the truth is that it is not a problem that is unique to the United States, and it's extremely important that it be looked at from a global perspective. It's a sordid web we weave, isn't it, folks? But in all honesty, when you look at the entire political system, you have to be careful to maintain a very broad perspective of it, because all the world is a stage and politics is absolute theatre. And what looks like a solution, when implemented at the right time, may just well be simply another furthering of the same agenda. So you've just got to be careful who you trust, and you've got to be careful to look at things from a broader perspective. Because even the person who may be used to implement a certain plan may not be a willing pawn. The person may believe they're doing the right thing. And this may be the position that Ron Paul's in. Because I can certainly see some definite advantages to the global elite by having the Federal Reserve Bank investigated at precisely the time they need it to happen. And by the state of the US economy, folks, it's not going to last very much longer anyway, so bearing that in mind, it would be difficult to find a more perfect way of bringing it down. I mean, after all, the people are demanding it. And it isn't that I'm saying Ron Paul is a bad man or anything, I'm simply saying I just don't trust the entire political system, and just by habit, I find it very difficult to trust anyone who works within those parameters. But I think it's about break time here now, folks, so we'll go and have a break. Thank you for spending this time with me today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Welcome back, folks. So yes, the question really does become, what are people waiting for? And that's actually quite an interesting question, because what people are waiting for is to be saved by somebody else. And it matters not whether that salvation will take the form of a religious savior, whether it will take the form of a global catastrophe, whether it will take the form of ascension, whether it will take the form of the rise of a new political party, as if people expect to actually be saved by operating within the parameters of the political system. But ultimately, in each of these cases, what we find is that people are waiting to be saved from something that is external to themselves. And in many cases, what people are waiting for is for hell to be created on earth so that a savior will come and save them. Many people are waiting for Armageddon. But again, by doing so, in reality, they are simply failing to look around them and notice what's going on in the world outside of their backyard. For example, if you were to go to the Middle East and ask them whether they should continue waiting for Armageddon, go to Libya, go to Afghanistan, go to Iraq, go to the Balkans, go to Palestine, go to the West Bank, Gaza, go to any number of places and ask them whether they should continue to wait for Armageddon, and they will, in no uncertain terms, inform you that for them, Armageddon is already very well established. And alternatively, you could go and talk to nature. Go and have a look at the plight of any animal on earth, and have a look at the plight of nature itself, and ask nature and the animals of the world whether they believe hell will come to earth. Because what you will find is that for such creatures, hell is already here. But the majority of humankind simply don't think this way. The majority of humankind don't see animals or nature as anything important in the equation unless they exist in a manner that serves mankind. And most of mankind don't even see the plight of the rest of mankind as any sort of a problem, because they only really perceive the things which directly affect them on a personal level. And again, folks, people only do this, people only have this perspective because that's what they've been trained to do, and that's the perspective that they've been trained to have. That's why it becomes so difficult to really look at this information sometimes, because you can sit there and point the finger at people and say, yes, well, these guys are sociopathic and these guys are enslaved because they allow themselves to be enslaved. These people don't care about what's going on outside their backyard because all they receive is information that is given to them via the television. And you can look at all of this stuff and you can see this in people, but again, you've got to step back a little bit further and realize that people are this way because they've been trained to be this way. I mean, ultimately, everything that we're facing is our own fault, but it's kind of a gray area, really, because most certainly we have failed to do anything about the situation that's been created around us. But again, we've been trained to be that way. And that's why when you look at all of this stuff, folks, it's one thing to acknowledge these traits within people, but it's another thing to be non-judgmental of these traits. Because you've got to understand that these people are you. They're the same as you. There's no difference. The only difference is that you've had access to different information that they have. And very often it isn't just the information that you've had access to in your research. It's the information that you've gathered during your life. It's the perspective that you've had on reality. Because you've grown up in a completely different set of circumstances to everybody else. You see, we are all unique, folks. We're all unique. We are absolutely unique to ourselves. No one else will ever be exactly the way you are. And yet, ultimately, we all come from the same source. So we are all each other, but we are all different. Because we are all unique aspects of the very same thing. And one of the hardest things in dealing with any of the situation that we face and in changing the world into something that will benefit mankind and benefit reality, one of the hardest things we face is that we always look for leaders. We always look for parents. We never look towards ourselves. Because there are no leaders, folks. There are no gurus. There is only yourself. You hold all the answers. You hold the key to your own freedom and your own enlightenment in your own hands. It's within your heart. And it's right there. You just have to see it and grasp it. Throw away all the baggage and just be who you are. I mean, sure, you can see these traits in other people and you can see what the world is around you. But you can choose not to participate in that. You can choose to participate in a completely different reality by simply changing your perspective of this one, by removing fear from your life, by giving to people around you, by being a caring, giving person, and seeing everybody else as another unique aspect of yourself, essentially, a unique aspect of the same consciousness from which you are part of, from which you originally come from. But again, it is a unique perspective. And we are capable of so much. We are capable of being so much more than we are allowed to be within these societies. So it's no wonder that the people you meet around the place are all sociopaths and they are all messed up and they're doing things that are completely irrelevant and they're totally asleep and they don't want to know about what you're talking about. All they're interested in is what's in their own backyard because they've been trained to be that way. When you start getting this infinite human consciousness and you squash it down into a box and you fracture it and you tell it up is down and black is white and day is night, it's no wonder that you find people in the messed up, stressed out states that they are in. And all these people need is love. All these people need is understanding. And all you need to do to help them understand what reality is and to help change their reality and help change your reality and your association with these people is to help them, is to love them, to see them as yourself and to lead by example. That's what I do anyway, folks. And it's changed every aspect of my life since I began to do this. And I'm not perfect. I've never been perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I just know how you can change your reality by changing your perspective of it. And that's why I've tried to bring this information to you and just to share it with you and to help you see how I've changed my life and to offer you the tools that worked for me. But again, it's simply my perspective, folks. That's all I've ever given you on these shows is my perspective. And you should never take it as anything other than my perspective, because ultimately that's all I have to give is my unique perspective of reality. And all I can do is show you what has worked for me in the hope that it will also work for you, or perhaps some aspect of it will work for you. Some aspect of it will help you open your mind a little bit to your own potential, because we need people to realize their own potential, because that's how we change the world. It's not going to happen while we're waiting to be saved. It's not going to happen while we wait for Armageddon. It's not going to happen while we wait for ascension. It's not going to happen by getting someone else to build us the perfect city that we can go and live in. It's only going to happen when we choose to step into our power and we choose to validate the perspective of those around us, to respect everybody around us, and to surrender to everybody around us. You imagine if the whole world surrendered, if the whole world treated every other person that they met as themselves in Lakesh, the whole world would change in 3 seconds. And that's all we need. When I say surrender, I'm not saying roll over and get taken for a ride, because if everybody surrenders, that's not going to happen. It's just that we're all too scared to let our guards down. We're all too scared to be the first one to adopt a giving perspective on the world. We always wonder what other people are going to think of us. Peer group pressure is an amazing thing, because peer group pressure trains us to police ourselves and to stop ourselves from ever stepping outside of the boundaries that we perceive to be the socially accepted norm. A lot of it is our concern for what other people think, but again, folks, this is inner fear. This is us being fearful of what other people may think about our perspective. And so we're too scared to allow ourselves to step outside of the lines and to say what we really feel and to act the way we should act, because we're afraid of what others might think about us. It's this very, very powerful self-policing that goes on within our own minds that prevents us from ever really achieving anything that we should be doing in life. The fear of our neighbours and the fear of what our neighbours and our friends will think about who we really are. So ultimately, folks, it's simply because we are afraid of ourselves. We're afraid of expressing ourselves as we were meant to be. And again, this is something that we've been trained to do. It's a way we've been trained to feel by the system itself. And if people can simply realize that this is what's going on, then they're 3/4 of the way home already. I mean, once you are aware of it, folks, and it becomes right there in your face, you just have to step back a little bit and look at it from this perspective, and you'll find yourself doing this all the time. I think that the more people change their perspective of reality, the more reality will change for people. And I think that more and more people are becoming aware of what's actually going on here. Certainly society is changing, and it would appear that the powers that be are desperately trying to keep up with this change and combat this change. In fact, all of the new pieces of legislation and more repressive laws and the militarization of the police force and everything that's going on seems to be coming in direct opposition to the great awakening that is happening. And in many ways, it is this escalation of the police state that is happening that is serving to awaken more and more people. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, folks. The more negative things get, the more people will awaken in the world. And the more positive the consciousness becomes, the more negative things will get around it. And this also happens by matter of course, folks, because the more enlightened you become, then eventually all of the trappings of this society, all of it seems to be incredibly negative. All of it is very, very polarized. All of it seems to exist in direct opposition to who and what mankind actually is. It's similar to the way I was talking a couple of weeks ago when I said that the more ordered people attempt to make society, then the more chaotic it will appear to them. Because if everything is supposed to fit within rigid guidelines, then of course just being in its natural state will be chaotic in comparison to such guidelines. And it's much the same with enlightenment. The more enlightened you become, the more polarized and negative the society around you appears to be to you, because it is, folks. I mean, it's a very, very negative society. It doesn't serve humanity or mankind or the planet in any way at all. All it serves is the system itself. And so it should be no surprise that the more enlightened you become, the more degraded the system around you is going to appear to be. But this is nothing to get upset about. It's simply the way it is. I mean, you can't fix a problem until you understand what the problem is. And when the human consciousness awakens, then it becomes apparent that this problem exists in the form of the social structure itself that we see around us every day. But I think we'll get there, folks. Eventually, I think the human race will pull itself through all of this. And I'm certainly looking forward to the day when such a thing occurs. And look, it's going to have to get a lot more negative yet, folks. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that are awake and they're aware and they really want something to give. They can't understand why the people around them aren't waking up. And it's simply because it hasn't got negative enough for them yet, folks. As I said, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And it's going to have to get very negative before the entire consciousness gets very positive and steps up to change things. But what's important is the state that you maintain through it all. I mean, there's no reason to feel alone if you understand what reality is. There's plenty of shows like this you can tune into. There's plenty of people you can contact online and talk about these things. You can go to the Crow House and join the forums there and talk to people about it. There's lots of forums all over the world where people are discussing these very topics. But most importantly, what you need to do is apply the correct understanding of reality to the world around you. Treat other people with respect. Treat other people as yourself. Live your life in this manner. I mean, I know I keep coming back to this point, folks, but that's the way you change things in your neighborhood. That's the way you change things in your building. That's the way you change things with your friends and your family. You don't have to cram information down their throats. Have intelligent, rational discussions with them and lead by example. Be a wonderful person to be around. Give from your heart because you know that you're giving to what is essentially yourself, because we are all each other. We are all just as valid as each other. And you're treating people the way you would be treated. And you are serving creation. And remember, folks, serving creation doesn't mean you serve others at the expense of yourself. You have to serve yourself as well, but not at the expense of others. That's the thing. In Lakesh, you treat other people as yourself, but not at the expense of either one of the parties. I see too many people do that. They go out, they become very, very humble people. They start giving all they can of themselves until they themselves are depleted. So what they were doing was out of balance. It wasn't giving to creation. It was depleting the self in order to serve others. And that's the wrong attitude. As I said, folks, you've got to lead by example. And if you can't give to yourself and love yourself and maintain your own personal health, then what sort of an example are you really setting for others to go by? I mean, I talk to a lot of people about current affairs all the time. I talk to all the new people that I meet about current affairs, but I don't try to cram things down their throat. I don't try to come across as what they might term a conspiracy theorist. I simply make idle conversation and I bring up certain points and drop certain hints and help people look at things from a slightly different perspective and sometimes suggest to them what they should maybe be looking out for in the news in days to come or weeks to come, because a lot of what these elites do is very predictable. But I just bring these topics up in a way that's not offensive to anybody. But you see, that's only half of the problem, folks. I mean, it's good to spread information. We have to spread as much information as we can. But better off than talking to people, perhaps you could simply print flyers out and put them on a local shop counter or put them in a video store or put them in the local hotel or somewhere that people go where there just be a bunch of flyers there that someone can pick up and take home, and you might have a little bit of information, just something you can put together, something on fluoride, something on chemtrails, something on the New World Order, something on one of the new bills that's been introduced by the government, something on coal seam gas mining, and put some websites on there that people can go and look at and where they can go and find information. I mean, whatever, folks, these sorts of things, just put them around your local community. That's a good way to get information out to people and not have to deal with people yourself if you find it hard to maintain your composure when trying to bring this type of information to them. Just do it through pamphlets and things, letterbox drops, whatever. But in your relationships with people, always try to lead by example. And the trick is to always be aware of yourself. I mean, sometimes you can gain a third-party perspective when you're having a conversation with someone. You can put yourself in a position where you are watching the conversation. And just look at yourself. Look at how you're behaving. Look at the interaction between the speakers. Are you giving someone else equal ground? Or are you commanding the conversation? Notice the way you're standing, the way you're holding yourself. Notice the way they are standing and the way they are holding themselves. And just try to gain a clear perspective of what type of interaction is actually taking place. When you become aware of this and you can put yourself on a global stage with everybody else simply as another participant with the same degree of validity as every other participant, then you can start to see things in a completely new perspective, and it will really help with the way you interact with people. If you can do this, if you can just put yourself in that third-party place and just watch what goes on. And you'll find it's very interesting, folks, when you do this type of thing. You find out all sorts of things about yourself, sometimes possibly things that you may not like that much, but they are nonetheless things about yourself that it is very, very wise to learn. And so I suggest that you try this. Actually, you can have quite a bit of fun with it when you master it. You'll find that you do it all the time, and it becomes a very interesting little interaction. It's almost like an interactive game or an interactive television show, because you're there having a conversation with someone, but you're also standing off on the sidelines, observing how the parties are interacting with each other. Becoming aware of body language, becoming aware of your own body language and of the body language of people that you're talking to. A lot of people are quite aware of the body language and the interaction that takes place between others, but they often fail to actually step back and observe themselves. Well, folks, we're almost at the end of the show here now, and I've probably gone off on a few tangents today and ended somewhere extremely distant from wherever it was that I started on this broadcast today. But you get that, folks. That's what happens when you just sort of start babbling and let the conversation go where it wants to go. But something I'd also like to say here is that this has been my final broadcast for 2011. I'm going to have the next couple of weeks off because I've just got such a backlog of things to do. And I'm desperately trying to find some time to work on the film. And so I'm just going to basically shut things down for the next few weeks, and I'm going to concentrate on getting back on top of all of the projects that I'm currently involved in. So please do have a wonderful Christmas and New Year's break, folks, and I will look forward to speaking to you again sometime in the new year. It has, as always, been a pleasure speaking to you again today. Thank you again to anybody who has ever shown any support for the Crow House. It's always very, very appreciated, and the site would not function were it not for the support that people show me. Thank you for all the kind letters and all the kind emails. I do read all of the emails, and I very much appreciate the sentiments that you show me. But folks, that is it for me for the day, and it is it for me for the year. It's been wonderful spending 2011 with you, and I will look forward to speaking to you again early in 2012. Please take care until then. In La Cache.